Well, friends, welcome to day number 125 of Bible in a Year with Pastor Steve. It is a Friday, and I hope that you all are looking forward to the weekend and that you are coming up with ideas on how you can carve out some space for Sabbath time. That's alone time with God, where you can delight in what God has blessed you with and has called you to be. Find some time of rest, because that is God's prescription for living life well, a work and life balance. Well, today, as part of the Bible in a Year reading plan, you'll be finishing up the book of Job, chapters 38 through 42. We're going to go back to Psalm 1 and read through 1, 2, and 3. And also, the clock has been reset for Proverbs. We are going back to Proverb number 1. As you might recall, these will be repeating throughout the year, the Proverbs more so than the Psalms, because there are way less Proverbs than Psalms. At any rate, by way of this podcast, I'll be reading Psalm number 2 for us, but be sure to read the rest on your own. I'll be using the World English Bible Translation, the web translation, but you're welcome again to use whatever you have on hand. If you're in need of the Bible in a Year reading plan, please click the link that's in the show notes and you'll be brought to a page where you can print or download it. And as always, I ask you to consider doing me the kindness of sharing this podcast with others, or you could also click like and subscribe on your listening platform of choice. All of those ways are good ways to share God's word with others. So friends, I thank you and I look forward to this time together. And without further ado, let's read Psalm number 2 together. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth take a stand and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, "Let's break their bonds apart and cast their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his wrath. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will tell of the decree. Yahweh said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will give the nations for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Give sincere homage to the Son, lest he be angry and you perish on the way. For his wrath will soon be kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." Well, friends, if you've been with us since the beginning of this podcast, or even, you know, several weeks or a couple months back, you'll remember how the nations that surround Israel have been pretty contentious and have tried to oppress them. If you go back to the time of Joshua and the book of Judges, you know that when God called the people of Israel into the Promised Land, which was a series of nations that were not Israel, but God designated this land for them as an inheritance, Israel had to go in there and buck up against the adversarial nations. As the story goes, we saw that the Israelites did not do a great job in dispossessing and completely eradicating them from the Promised Land that God wanted to give them. And because of that, the nations continued to try to oppress the Israelites and drag them away from God into the likes of idolatry and marrying off the Israelite women to these foreign nation women, which was prohibited by the law. You might also remember the story of the Tower of Babel. This was found in the book of Genesis, when the people, after the time of Noah's flood, they rallied together and they said they wanted to make a name for themselves. And they built this huge tower, or ziggurat, which is like a stepwise pyramid, that would basically ascend into the heavens. In the ancient Near Eastern culture, often these ziggurats were made so the gods can come down and to be amongst them, to party and do all of these things, go to war, whatever the case might be. But God here saw what the people were up to, and he wasn't so impressed with the size of this thing that they had built. So he kind of came down there, yes, on his own to see this puny attempt of theirs. And of course, we know the story that God frustrates their efforts, gives them all different languages, and thus causes them to kind of break up into respective areas. And these became different nations as well. So we see from early on that there is this let me do for myself over what God wants to do for us and in us. People became enamored with power and self-determination. And of course, this is what is being captured here in this psalm, where the kings of the earth are kind of taking a stand and counseling together and saying, let's break the bonds against God. And again, God laughs at these sort of notions because God's will can never be subverted. In fact, here in the psalm, it alludes to God's son, which we know is Jesus, who is called the Christ, which means anointed. And if you remember early in Jesus's ministry time, when it's inaugurated, he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And after Jesus kind of came out of the waters, a dove and the Holy Spirit came down and alighted on Jesus. And what did God say audibly? Well, in one account, it says that you are my son. And then in another account, he's speaking to the people in attendance, saying, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. We know through Jesus's ministry and through the promises of God, through the prophets, that the kingdom that God wanted to inaugurate for eternity was through King David's line. And the promised Savior, the anointed, was Jesus, who, yes, was through David's line. This was the good news that Jesus preached early on and throughout his ministry, that the kingdom of God was at hand, that the kingdom of God had drawn near. Through Jesus's life, death, resurrection, and then later ascension, the kingdom of God had broken in to the kingdoms of the world. And we're in an in-between time where the kingdom of God is pushing up against these other nations, so to speak, and rulers of the world to overcome the darkness that they have created, to overcome them with light and works of righteousness and peace and mercy and love and grace. And yes, this isn't going to come till completion until Jesus makes his return, when he takes his full reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and puts under his subjection all the powers of sin and death and evil, at which time they will be eradicated. And boy, do we look forward to that time when there will be no more tears and darkness and disease, but fullness of life in God's full presence. Well, friends, let that be an encouragement to you today that God is in control and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, I look forward to seeing you again next week, the same place and at relatively the same time. Until then, have a blessed weekend.